Our lesson in this broadcast is about sowing and reaping. And mark well, it's not a lesson to the unsaved, as I say, but to the children of God. For remember, this letter was addressed by Paul to the churches of Galatia, as we learn from the first two verses. Here we have a very important lesson on the Christian walk. But first let me say this to our unsaved friends, for I do want to bring in God's wonderful plan of salvation in every broadcast. I want to say that no matter how you try, you cannot please God unless you first accept the gift that He has purchased for you at such cost and now offers to you so freely, just by grace through faith. How can you possibly live pleasing to Him when all the while you're rejecting His own beloved Son, whom He gave to die in shame and disgrace for sins He had never committed, for your sins and mine? So the first thing for you to do is to put your trust simply but sincerely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept salvation as the gift of God. That's what He says it is. He says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, if you've first done this, then you can begin to try by His grace and help to live a life that will please and honor Him. God speaks of the believer's conduct, or of conduct in general, as walk or walking. We might say this young man walks just like his dad. Now, God wants this of us spiritually. He wants us to walk worthy of Him. He wants us to walk not as wicked sinners, but as the children of God. Now, let me read to you Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. Beginning at the 7th verse, the apostle says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now he's speaking to believers here. "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith." Now it's strange that the Apostle Paul should have to remind believers that God is not mocked, and should have to warn them not to try to mock Him. But you see, he knew, and certainly the Holy Spirit who caused him to write had in mind the fact that there would be some who would so misunderstand grace that they would consider it sort of a license to do whatever they wish. Tell me why, believer friend, why did you come to Christ in the first place? I asked this a few weeks ago. Did you come to be free from sin or to be free to sin? If you came to be free from sin, then you'll have some understanding of grace. Well, that's exactly what God wants to free you from the penalty, from the power, and someday from the very presence of sin. But if you came to Christ to get a license to sin, or to be free to sin, or even if after being saved you have come to look upon grace as some sort of license, you do not understand grace, then this word must come to you with great force. Don't be deceived. You cannot make a fool out of God. God is not mocked. You will always turn up at the wrong end if you try. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You cannot live as you please. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Mr. Moody had a great sermon on this passage. There were three main points in it. The first was that when a farmer sows, he expects to reap. Secondly, he expects to reap what he sows. And third, he expects to reap more. That's why the prophet speaks about sowing the wind and reaping the whirlwind, or the whirlwind. Now then, my Christian friend, whoever you may be, if you ever argue or even entertain the thought, well, we're under grace, we can do this, we can do that, we don't have to worry about the worldliness, which you know very well is displeasing to God. If you feel that way, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This was so even in the life of the Apostle Paul, the great example of grace. If you'll recall, just after his conversion, God spoke to a very godly man by the name of Ananias. And he said to him, "Arise and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth." The 13th verse of Acts 9 says, "Then answered Ananias, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For, now know this carefully, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So the one who had caused others to suffer so, the one of whom Ananias had said, "Lord, I've heard how much evil he has done to thy saints," this one was now himself to become the great sufferer, the persecuted one. And from his very first steps into Damascus, practically until the last into that jail at Rome, he suffered the very persecutions that he had previously caused others to suffer. This has always been so. That balancing process always seems to hold sway, you might say. Thus the apostle speaks especially to believers, for he himself was a believer when he had to bear all that suffering. Read the long list of things that he went through in 2 Corinthians 11 and 12. Until that time, he had already suffered cold and hunger and nakedness. He had been beaten and robbed and stoned. He had suffered shipwreck and imprisonment and much more. He knew what it was to suffer, as he had caused others to suffer before, and he gladly took it. And so he says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You can't make a fool out of God and just do whatever you want to do and still think you can bear his name. The apostle says elsewhere, "The foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And now the apostle in the next verse goes into detail about sowing and reaping. He says, "He that soweth unto his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now, I can't help but feel that he's still going on with the thought of last week's lesson, where we saw him saying to believers that they should help each other when they experience temptation and trouble. When a brother is overtaken in a fault and has fallen, he says, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one." But he goes on, "Every man shall bear his own burden." Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You can't just live in any way that you wish. You can't just live to satisfy your own desires, your own fleshly desires. If you do, you will of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In the 8th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, Paul has more to say about this. In verse 5, he says, they that are after the flesh. Now, by the flesh, he doesn't mean the body, but the old Adamic nature. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Good eating, ease, comfort, fun, and so on. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. Let me ask you, Christian friend, what are you most interested in? Are you interested in the things of this life, the things of the flesh, the common existence down here, the few thrills and joys you can get out of life? Ah, says Paul, that's not what to be interested in. Be interested in the things of the Spirit, the Word of God and prayer, the things of God. For he goes on to say in verse 6, that is Romans 8, verse 6, for to be carnally minded or minded according to the flesh is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. May I repeat that and tuck it away in your mind. Let it sink down into your heart. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Then in verse 13 he says, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now let me first explain what this does not mean. It has nothing to do, beloved, with salvation. It does not mean that if a Christian doesn't live exactly the life that he should, he'll therefore be lost again and die. That is, die the second death. It doesn't mean that when it says ye shall die. For the very context, and the context here in Galatians 6, shows that he considered these people to whom he wrote, though they were failing Christians, biting and devouring one another, he still considered them the children of God. He called them saints and brethren. Now, he doesn't mean that you'll die if you live after the flesh in the sense that you'll be lost again. Here's what he's getting at. As far as your Christian life, your Christian testimony, your Christian experience are concerned, you may flourish like a plant that's blooming and showing all its beautiful flowers, or you may wither and die. That is, die as far as your spiritual experience is concerned. Why doesn't Paul write to the believers among the Romans when he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light? He's not talking about the unsaved there. He's speaking to believers who are, as far as their spiritual experience is concerned, asleep and dead. How many Christians are like that today? They fill our churches. Hundreds of real born-again, saved people who have come to Christ perhaps in tears to have him forgive them of their sins. And he's justified them freely once and for all by his once-for-all sacrifice. But if the devil can't keep you from being saved, dear friend, he'll make you a miserable Christian and a poor thing as far as your Christian testimony and experience are concerned. This is what the apostle is speaking of when he says, if you're just going to sow to your flesh and not think of the things of God and the things of the Spirit and of the blessing you can be to others, you're going to die as far as your spiritual life, your Christian experience are concerned. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What a wonderful truth. To find the results of living after the Spirit and sowing to the Spirit. How blessedly true it is that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Ah, beloved, that's what God wants us to experience and enjoy. He that sows to the flesh will only reap corruption, and we know that, so that's evident. We know that the happiest Christians are the ones who set their minds on the things of God. We know that we're happiest as Christians and most powerful and influential in our testimony. we're most at peace and most greatly used, when we do not sow after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is, when we do those things that will naturally bring forth the fruit that only the Spirit can produce. Now I say in this particular connection, the Apostle has particularly in mind the subject we were discussing last week. You cannot just live for yourself. You must live for God and for others if you would have His blessing. You can't just live to please yourself. You must live to please God. You must live to serve your fellow man, and especially your fellow Christians. And it's again with this in mind that the Apostle goes on in verse 9 of Galatians 6. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, now listen, we shall reap if we faint not. Did you get that? In due season, God knows the time, we shall reap if we faint not. You remember what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in his first letter, chapter 15, verse 58? He says there to the Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Doesn't this admonition imply that there's a tendency on the part of believers to want to give up and quit? That is, as far as Christian living and testimony are concerned. Isn't it true that sometimes through disillusionment and disappointment, sometimes through testing, sometimes for other reasons, there is a tendency in the believer to say, well, I give up. You recall Jeremiah had something of the same temptation. He said, Lord, everybody's making fun of me. Everyone mocketh me daily. Daily I'm in derision. I'm not going to speak in your name anymore. I'm not going to mention your name or the message you've given me to bring. Ah, but he couldn't do it. He said he couldn't keep quiet. Thy word was as a burning fire, he writes, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Well, good for Jeremiah. But I wonder if all of us who are believers in the Lord have lived up to that. I wonder whether we have been able to keep quiet. That's how it shouldn't be. We should not be able to keep quiet. But the Apostle has to exhort us, sad to say. He has to exhort us for our failures and our weakness and tell us, don't be moved, be steadfast, unmovable. No matter what the disappointments, no matter how disillusioned, go on abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And here in Galatians 6, he gives us an even greater promise. Not only is our labor not in vain in the Lord, but we may look for fruits of our labor if we faint not. Let's repeat the verse again, for it contains a very particular and precious promise. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Let me ask you, my dear Christian friend, first of all, are you sowing to the flesh or sowing to the Spirit? Are you living for yourself or living for God? Remember, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he also will reap. This is not only so with the unsaved, beloved. Whatsoever a man soweth, he's speaking to the unbelievers here only indirectly. Believers themselves shall reap what they sow, and then certainly the unbelievers will. In other words, whoever you are, you can't live a carnal, careless life. Christian, you can't live a careless Christian life and then expect to get by with it. First of all, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But not only that, in this life, it's going to tell. You're going to have a guilty conscience. You're going to find your spiritual power waning and finally gone. You'll have little influence and finally none upon others in your life and testimony. Ah, you'll reap what you sow right here in this life. Ah, but you may also reap the fruits of living after the Spirit. being interested in the things of God and speaking to others of the things of God, living a life that pleases God. I say, you can reap the fruits of that in this life if you faint not. At first it may be very hard going. Perhaps it will always be hard going, but it will be a thrilling battle to fight the good fight of the faith. So he says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then he closes, verse 10, as ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You notice how he always puts the emphasis on the Christian brotherhood, on the members of the body of Christ as one in Christ.